So, Father in heaven, we thank you today for the word of God. We ask of you, we humble ourselves. Lord, we come to this chapter and we humble ourselves and want to be entirely yours, your church in your way. Thank you for putting before us and setting genuine church and glorious church before us. Lord, thank you for the ministry that you've given us as Calvary Chapel Fargo. So we want to fulfill that ministry. So we ask today to be taught by your Spirit and that you would impart to us the very power of God to go forth and live these lives. For Lord, this life that you've given us to live is your life, and we want to live that out in truth, in purity, in power. Just want to live for you in Jesus' name. Amen. As we continue to study through 2 Timothy, we have 2 weeks in 2 Timothy. So this is chapter 4 today, 1 through 8. Then we have a guest speaker next week. Pastor Jeff Solwold is going to stay on through the men's conference, and he's going to be sharing the Word of God with us on Sunday. And so I encourage you to be prayed up for that and prepared for what he's going to teach. And then the week after that, we'll finish up 2 Timothy, and then we're on Resurrection Sunday. So that means when we get to April, then we're going to be studying something else, right? Now, I have a whole bunch of ideas yet, and if I commit to them, then you'll say, well, then you always change your mind. So right now, I'm working through 1 and 2 Peter. That's been on the radar about what we need to go to next. So that's kind of where I'm praying about. So pray for me on that as well as we live that out. So 2 Timothy 4, verse 1 says, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and dead at his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come. Interesting. It's not in the grammar. It's not like stated like it's there now or it's coming. Again, this is future, but yet at the same time, we're now reading it today. The time will come. Word of God living and powerful. Time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall heap to themselves teachers. Have we ever had a heap of teaching available than we do today concerning what's put out on the internet? If you didn't understand what, again, you want to do your in-depth study of the grammar on the word heap, we're here now. The internet's a heap, if you will. It is. Teachings after their own lusts, teachers heaped up, having itching ears. You can find whatever you want to find. If you don't like what you're hearing, you just turn the channel on the internet. Now, we're here now. I mean, and this is the... I'm trying to awaken us unto, we've been studying the scriptures in the last days, perilous times will come. And what's our conclusion as we've studied 2 Timothy 3? That's now. And so why are we now being so awakened unto, we've got to preach Christ. We've got to preach the gospel now, this year. This is the now. Okay, time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. The word there for sound is actually a verb. And again, the way we think of it, we're thinking like a doctrine. We think it's that which is defining the doctrine. But the word itself is the same way we would say that the body is healthy or to be well. It's a verb. So this doctrine that, again, is to be well in doctrine. Healthy, right? Makes you healthy. The time will come when they will heap unto themselves teachers that just scratch an itch. And having itching ears, they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. And we've studied this. Persecution's coming. I mean, this all ties together. And then this instruction that Paul gives to Timothy, but watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. For I'm already offered to be, I am ready to be offered. Time of my departure is at hand. I fought a good fight, I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. So once you cross the finish line in this world, Paul's very clear. There's a prize. There's a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. I've entitled today, have a message and be one. And why would I entitle it that way? So, throughout the years, and it's rare that I will do this from the pulpit, but I share this often, my atmosphere is highest today is from 2 Timothy 4:12, and he entitled it, Have a Message and Be One. So I ask you, church, right, as we've studied what genuine church is, and you take that look in verse 5, make full proof of thy ministry. Paul's talking to Timothy in the singular. Paul's talking to Timothy in the singular. I, from up here, have been applying and saying unto us, we, taking the book of 2 Timothy to write to us, and so we've been taking this thing up in this way, and this is my word to us now. We are to make full proof of our ministry, what God has called us to do. I am not wondering, scrambling, grasping, praying, seeking, knocking what our call is. We have it. Very clear. We're to preach Christ to this city, that they might be saved. We're called to that. We've kept ourselves. We're not in the category of scratching an itch. Again, I lay this out before us. The Holy Spirit's been pleading with us about joining His work. Do the work of an evangelist. Again, you can talk about how God gave the apostles, evangelists, prophets, and then pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry. Well, part of our equipping has been ongoing unto this. It's time for us as a church to do the work of an evangelist. Just backing into this verse, of verse 5. We as a church to make full proof of our ministry. That is what we are called to do, to serve in this gospel. Now, when I come to a study like this, and again, well, maybe we should roll back into 5 backwards a little more. So you look at verse 5 together with me. Endure afflictions. Okay, that's the full-on expectation. As Paul said, Timothy, you know my life. Okay, this will come upon everyone who seeks to live godly in Christ Jesus. So again, we're going to read back into 5 on purpose. We are to make full proof of our ministry. We're to do the work of an evangelist. Before we even get to that, we must endure afflictions, the trouble. Trouble is going to come to us in this world. No doubt about it. Okay, and if you weren't aware of that, just stick around a bit and it will come to you. But watch thou in all things. Now, it might seem to you like I'm not organized, but I'm very organized. Why would he start in verse 5? What's up, church? Do you believe the gospel? Right? Do you believe the gospel? What is it? Listen up. Our calling is to go and preach this gospel, to share with everyone, to anyone and everyone and anyone who will listen. And you believe the gospel. It is the most powerful thing we have. Right? It is the most powerful thing we have. If you think it can be accomplished through influence or the size of the church or a purpose, the church has a purpose other than the purpose of Christ. Or if you think something else is better, well then get up and go do that. Honestly. If you found something more powerful than the gospel, then give yourself entirely to it. But I'm saying unto us as a church, we've been listening. Again, we've been bowing the knee, humbling ourselves. There's no one lower than Jesus Christ. When he entered into this world, he came meek and lowly, and he died on the cross. And this gospel is the power of God unto salvation for those who believe. The message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but is the power of God unto salvation for those who believe. 2 Corinthians 1, who's got it? 18. Do you believe the gospel? It's powerful. You shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Right? Acts 1:8. Witnesses unto Jesus. Now, how does Paul say it to the Roman church? 1:16, the letter to the Romans. He says what? Not the Roman Catholic Church, although they could use the book of Romans. They could use repentance in the gospel too, right? Keep preaching. How does he say that? For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. For it is power of God. Who's got it? Unto power of God. Say it louder. I can't. My ears. Who's got it? Power of God, salvation. That doesn't seem unto salvation for those who believe. Who's got it? You've had time, look it up. Hey. Excellent. So I'm mixing together 2 Corinthians 1:18. Is the power of God... Say it again. And for the Gentile. Okay. You believe the gospel. Now, we're interactive, right? We're right in this. And if it says have a message and be one, here's my utmost for his highest today. My daughter sends me a text this morning. She's like, Dad, did you see this? Right? Because this is how we interact. Where she got to my utmost before I did. Have a message and be one. Preach the word, 2 Timothy 4:2. We are not saved to be channels only, but to be sons and daughters of God. We are not turned into spiritual mediums, but into spiritual messengers. The message must be part of ourselves. The Son of God was his own message. His words were spirit and life, and his disciples, as his disciples, our lives must be the sacrament of our message. The natural heart will do any amount of serving, but it takes the heart broken by conviction of sin and baptized by the Holy Ghost and crumpled into the purpose of God before the life becomes the sacrament of its message. There is a difference between a testimony and preaching. A preacher is one who has realized the call of God and is determined to use his every power to proclaim God's truth. God takes us out of our own ideas for our lives, and we are battered into shape and use as the disciples were after Pentecost. Pentecost did not teach the disciples anything. It made them the incarnation of what they preached. Ye shall be witnesses unto me. Let God have perfect liberty when you speak. Before God's message can liberate other souls, the liberation must be real in you. Gather your material, set it alight when you speak. Preach the word. Have a message and be one. Now I'll lay this forth in such a way for us today, and this is where it begins. There's a charge that Paul puts before Timothy in verse 1. Charged. I charge thee therefore. And he does it before God and the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's enough, I think, in the fear of the Lord to take a good stock of what are you doing? What are you doing with this life that he has given you? And I lay this out in this way, that this is what we, that you can all in, every one of us, we're going to fulfill our ministry. And I lay it before us in this way, just as Paul charged Timothy in the singular. You see the grammar, they put it into the thee, and this is charged to Timothy. It's not a command. It's more than a command. Now, he does command in the sight of God to Timothy. He does use the same English sort of language. Again, as we translate it, we come up with this idea. This is before God. Now, if you know, again, that's why I ask you, believe this gospel. You've believed and received that gospel, and you before God, what something had to happen when you believed and received that gospel. Bible teaches, is that what happened to you? When you believed and received the gospel, that you were born of God's Spirit. Before that, you were spiritually dead. Now you're born of His Spirit, and you're alive. Again, Ephesians 2 said we were dead in trespasses and sins. You He made alive. We come to this and this charge. Interestingly enough, this is not the first charge using this Greek word that Paul has put to Timothy. In the first letter, he charged him before God and the Lord Jesus Christ and before the elect angels to make a difference between the demonic fallen angels and those that kept their estate and continued to serve God. Before the elect angels, he says, observe these things without preferring one before another, do nothing by partiality. And that was when he was putting the elders in the church who would be responsible to give oversight for his church. And that serious charge that says what? Do not change a thing of this message of the cross of Jesus Christ. We live in a day, and we all know it, When I talk about the heap of teachings available on the internet, you can find your best life now. Now, that used to be number one or two in the weekly podcast, and now it's this Catholic guy who's got three of the top 50. If you thought the Catholic Church, which does not preach Christ, okay, you hear me, they do not preach Christ the way the Bible teaches. Evangelize, right? You've got to see that. He has three of the top 50 in that category. Now, when I lay this out in this way, there's a heap of teachings that teach another thing. The second charge that Paul gave to Timothy, of these things put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord that they strive not about to words of no profit. And it was about the teaching of the word. Again, teaching the word, going right through the scriptures. Again, I lay this out, that these charges that God gave unto Paul to write to Timothy and then wrote it, it's a great discipleship book, and we've been using it for us, Calvary Chapel Fargo, to be equipped for the work of ministry. Unashamedly applying them for us, that the charge was stop fighting about words that go nowhere and get into the Word of God and share the Word of God. This Greek word for charge is dia martyromai. Maybe you can hear the word, the English word martyr. That's the charge. It's also the word witness. Why do we need the power of God to be witnesses unto Jesus? Why is it that as Oswald Chambers would write in his prayer closet these things that God would speak to him in about preach the word, and his wife, after he died, published them. That's from his devotions. And that's this part. It's like this is not about a command. It's given as a command, but this is about being witnesses unto Jesus. This is our testimony in the full view of what is in the world. That's the charge. That's the witness. Many times the word gets translated into English, testify. Much like we would take an exhortation that we've received from the Lord and we'd make an emphasis and we'd say, this isn't just me talking. I received this from the Lord and I've got to say this to you and I'm pleading with you to respond. That's the way that word ties together the witness, right, and ties it to this testifying before God and the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the equivalent of when we go to court and put our hand on the Bible and say what? I promise to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help me God. See, what's Paul? Paul is putting this to Timothy, and again, using that witness before God and the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is the important part that prepares us to be a message, have a message and be one. Yeah, again, this, when I ask you, do you believe the gospel? Do you have the power of God? What are you doing? If you're not doing that, who are you living for? We already know the answers because God's been insistent on us. This phrase, who shall judge? Who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and at his kingdom? There's a coming judgment. Why would we be so insistent to preach the gospel to the lost? Because they're dead, dying, hellfire awaits. Okay? You can't tell me that if you saw a building on fire, you wouldn't first inquire, who's in there? Every one of us still would do that. And if you're not there, then today's even more of a rebuke. Now, when you see this, again, no people in this bus garage over here, but one day we're driving by, and my wife sees flames coming out of the roof. I quickly call 911 and get the fire trucks. Hey, there's a fire coming out of the Valley bus, and there's no people in there. But what would we done if that was an apartment building? All of a sudden, you have a whole different response, don't you? You look at this world and what God's working with us, there is a coming judgment. And the judgment, God's not the one who is bringing the judgment because he likes to judge. God is just and holy. You talk about this charge before the Lord Jesus Christ, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ. This is in the nature of God. He will judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and at his kingdom. Do you believe in the judgment of God? If you believe in the judgment of God, then you say what? Somebody has got to give the gospel out Because it's only through the believing of the gospel that one can be saved. Our cries for mercy go up. Our feet go out. Right? Have a message and be one. We, as a church, are called to preach the gospel. If you thought you have nothing to do here, that the guy up front will take care of it all, you were wrong. I'm called to equip all of you together with me that we go forth and do the work of ministry. And I say, let's fulfill our ministry. Matthew 16, Jesus says, I will build my church. You know that one? Upon this rock I'll build my church. Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. If he wasn't the living God, then you wouldn't have to fear him. You understand that? He is the living God. He is the true God. When he says he will return and judge everyone's works according to their reward, he will give them. He's the living God. Are you afraid of any other God and what they might say to you? I have no fear of the gods of this world. Why? Because they can't send me to hell. They cannot judge unto condemnation. When you consider Matthew 16, I will build my church, and Jesus says, this is the first step. I must go to the cross, suffer and die. And Peter says what to him? I will not let that happen. He's rebuked sharply. But then our Lord goes on to teach something that he says, he who seeks to save his life will lose it. He says, if any man would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. He says, if any man seeks to save his life, he'll lose it. But he who loses his life for my sake will keep it for all of eternity. And if you turn to Matthew 16, now draw your attention to 16:27. So that's me preparing you for this verse. I just want to go right to 16:27. But I got to get you there. Do you believe that? Do you believe that if you seek to save your life in this world, you will lose it? I believe that. I'm pleading with us as a church, say, let's lose our lives. Do you believe in the coming judgment of God? Do you believe the whole apartment building of this world is about to be on fire? Matthew 16:27, for the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. What do sinners get? You don't know that answer? 2 Thessalonians 1:7 through 10. What do those who refuse to believe the gospel, what do they get? 2 Thessalonians 1:7. So when the Lord does come, and to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels. What are you expecting with your reward that you're in Christ? Heavenly rest. Okay? Bema seat judgment, referenced in 2 Corinthians 5. And for us, rest. Believers in Jesus Christ. All who you preach the gospel unto, and they believe it and receive it, rest awaits. Trouble in this world, rest in heaven. 2 Thessalonians 1:7. How about 1:8? 2 Thessalonians 1:8. In flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. You think the real part about hell is separated from God for all of eternity. Again, flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God. God has pleaded now for 2,000 years after the cross of Jesus Christ publicly, again, declared, again, just as you would understand, this gospel has gone forth, and yet there are many who have not believed and received this gospel. Some live in this world, and because the church is not awake and going out, not seeing the great need to rescue, there are those who live in the city who have never heard. Almost unthought of years ago that would ever happen. I'm causing you to wake out of your sleep and open your eyes and see that which is coming for sinners who have not believed the gospel. They shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power, when he shall come to be glorified in his saints and to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. That's the charge. Preach the word. Preach the word. Peter describes this, 1 Peter 4, 5, who shall give an account to him that is ready to judge the quick and the dead. Revelation 20, the great white throne judgment. John 5, right? The Father judges no man, but committed all the judgment unto the Son. Here's John 5, 24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that hears my word and believes on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Verily, verily, I say unto you, John 20, 5:25. 5:25. The hour is coming and now is when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself, and hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Do you understand we have many people here who do not believe in the Son of God? And the apartment's on fire. Why? I believe it's only God's love and mercy that's holding back right now. I believe that with all my heart. God is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all would come to repentance. Peter writes and says it's the long-suffering of the Lord that means salvation. We are being awakened unto this truth by the Holy Spirit, and I'm calling us to have a message and be one. I'm calling us to action. Preach the word. Preach the word. If you're fully convinced that those who believe not the gospel are about ready for a flaming swirly. Little joke there to kind of lighten it up a bit, but we're not to what? We're not to mess with this thing. Do you really believe the gospel? And we get challenged on this, the idea of preaching the word. And you look at that, the word there for preach, the Greek word keruso. Again, as it's conjugated, it's a verb, and this again is imperative. Timothy, preach the word. Calvary Chapel Fargo, what do I say to us? What are we receiving and hearing? Preach the word. Because the time comes when what? They don't want sound doctrine. They don't want those things that, they don't want to hear judgment. Have you not noticed that judgment is almost not talked about? Preaching the word. Well, the beginning of the gospel, the preaching in the beginning of Jesus, the first word of the preaching of the gospel is preaching repentance. Change your mind. Change your mind. Again, this is the beginning of the preaching of the word. Caruso, of certain affinity, to herald as a public crier. That's caruso. How can we not do an outdoor service knowing where we are and the light that is to shine from our lives? Every opportunity we get, we've got to take them. Right? The days are evil. Let's redeem the time. A public crier, especially divine truth. Again, Strong's Concordance there puts right in parentheses the gospel. This is about preaching the gospel. When he says preach the word keruso is about preaching the gospel. Preacher, proclaim, publish. Now we got Jesus preached, John preached. When the disciples were sent out, they preached. Preach the word, preach repentance, preach the gospel. This is the activity that they did. And we wouldn't be that way if we hadn't been seeking God all these years for what he would have us to do. What are the good works you prepared before us? What are the mighty works of God that we are to be doing? Like I told you, I am not wondering what they are. Every one of us has been placed here, and if we hear this and we've believed the gospel, the truth of the gospel is sinners go to hell because they would not. They refused, they rejected, they hardened, they told God no over and over and over again. God pleads, God preaches, God has said, change your mind. He says, look at my son. I have paid for your sin. Why won't you come to me? That's the plea. Our cries for mercy are only to what? Mercy is, God, we're all guilty, right? We've received Jesus Christ. What about those that haven't? We understand mercy. The cry for mercy is, what about all those who are still stuck in the building that is on fire? The instruction after Jesus died, rose again, and his instruction to the apostles, he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach, kerusso, the gospel to every creature. Stats are horrible. The stats on this are horrible. Most Christians in their lifetime do not share the gospel with anyone. It's under 5%. And you don't think that Romans 13 comes along and says, wake up, the church has been lazy concerning what? Reaching the lost. Mark 16:20, and they went forth. You hear that? The command was, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. 16:20 says, they went forth and preached everywhere. The Lord working with them, confirming the word with signs following. What happened in between there? The baptism with the Holy Ghost. Can you think of that? Why would the church say the works of God, the gifts of the Spirit ceased? They have no intent on going forth in the power to preach. It's amazing how a doctrine can change over laziness. Luke 24:47, and repentance and remission of sin should be kerusoed, if I can just conjugate a Greek word to English, preached, declared. Repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name among all nations. Are we on the list of nations? We are. What about all the nations that have now come here? Acts 8:5, Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. 2 Corinthians 4:5, for we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves servants for Jesus' sake. Colossians 1:23, if ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled, not be moved away from the hope of the gospel, which ye have heard, which was preached to every creature, which is under heaven, where I have Paul made a minister. Paul could declare that the gospel had been preached to every creature. See, we now live in a day where we look out and say, that hasn't happened here. So this part, again, as you think about that, we're not waiting for the gospel to get to every nation so Jesus can come back. It's already gone out. We're way after the fact now that people who have been born after the gospel had gone out, they should have known, but it's been refused. It's time for us to preach Christ. 1 Timothy 3:16, without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles. Kerusso. Now, let me put it to you in the words of Peter in Acts chapter 10. This is the beginning of salvation to the Gentiles. We don't have many Jews in Fargo. I don't know that we're going to be encountering, right? So you talk about Acts 2, Holy Spirit, Pentecost. You have another one in 10 and in Cornelius' house. This is for the Gentiles. What was preached that day? What was preached? Acts 10:34. Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth. Find your way to Acts 10. We're going to read some of this. Peter opened his mouth. We'll just put your name in there, right? Seth opened his mouth. Put your name in there. You see what's going on? This either convicts us or we got nothing. If we can leave when the word comes and the Spirit does that, and what did it take to get Peter to get there? It took a vision. It took a repentance of his mind towards a people group that he didn't think either should be saved or could be saved. He's more like Jonah than you know. And so are we. So we got some repentance on our own to get here. Peter opened his mouth and said, "Of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons." In the Spirit, we've been told none lower than Jesus. Therefore, as we take up Christ, what do we say? None lower than us. There is not a person who lives in this city that should be refused by one of us being higher than them in our minds. The lowest. How did Jesus save you? He became the lowest. Isn't that what he did? Well, then how will we, the church, together with Jesus, reach anybody else? We must agree together that when we go out as the lowest. Of a truth, I perceive God is no respecter of persons. But in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. Acts 10:36, the word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ. What's the word? The word is, you can be at peace with God through Jesus Christ. What's outside of Jesus Christ? Flaming fire taking vengeance, death, hell. Peace through God, right? By Jesus Christ. Preaching. He is Lord of all. You hear that phrase? There's no Lord of these people groups that live in other places with their false religions. I've read my Bible, and again, it's when Jesus dies on the cross, the Bible's very clear to say what? All authority is now granted unto him. Why? Because of the victory and power over the devil, over hell, over death. He is Lord of all. That's not an afterthought. The word of God which was sent was that Jesus is Lord of all. The word, I say, ye know, was published throughout all Judea, began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil, and God was with him. And 39, we are witnesses of all things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and Jerusalem, how they slew and hanged on a tree. We preach Christ crucified. Why is there no power in your gospel? Because you don't preach Christ crucified. He died for the sin of the world. He slew and hanged on a tree. But God raised him up the third day, showed him openly. Not unto all people, but unto witnesses chosen before of God, even to us who did not eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. That's why we need the power of the Spirit to be witnesses unto Jesus. And all that to get me to this next part. And he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of the quick and dead. To him give the prophets witness that through his name whosoever believes in him shall receive remission of sins. So we're called to preach the word because of Jesus Christ and his coming judgment. You ready for this? Reprove. Some versions say convince. Instant in season, out season. Are you ready? Sometimes you get a chance to prepare, right? I'm going to share the gospel. I'm preparing. But there's another time when someone says, hey, and you hear with your ear, and they're like, they don't know Jesus Christ. Are you instant out season? Just right there. Do you answer the foolishness that goes on around you? Do you have an answer for those who say God has no son, and they scoff and mock, say, God can't have sex with a woman and have a son? Ha, ha, ha. Do you have an answer? I do. God is spirit, right? God is not limited, right? Do you know the incarnation, how God was placed in Mary? You have these answers. Preach the word. Convince. Oh, okay, I guess you have a different opinion. Do you understand? Right? It's not about an opinion. Convince or reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Teaching. Yeah, preaching turns into teaching. Patiently, longsuffering, a rebuke. Yes, take the word and say unto somebody, you are absolutely wrong about that. You are absolutely wrong. If you continue thinking that way, you're in danger of hellfire. Christians don't talk that way. At least the Christians I know don't talk that way. Because they want to fit into this world rather than to say what? Hated by this world. Preach the word. Right? Preach repentance. Preach judgment. Preach hell. For the time will come, so convince, exhort, rebuke with all long-suffering teaching. The time will come when? They will not endure sound doctrine. Do you not understand that we're there? I understand it. After their own lusts, they shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. I mean, a church now exists for every sin that's accepted of mankind. That you can find a church that accepts you for as you are. That's according to lust. Teachers scratching an itch. They shall turn away their ears from the truth, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth. They shall turn away their ears from the truth. So we have been awakened by God unto the truth. And I've said it before, and again, this is that part. Do you believe the gospel? And I'm awakened unto this truth. And then being awakened to that, that means that there will be those that I go and talk to that their ears have turned away from the truth. So what do you do with someone who has turned away from the truth? Go on to the next one. So your first interaction, convince, exhort, rebuke with all long-suffering and teaching. Again, if I'm pleading with you over and over on the same line, which side are you on? But if you're awakened under the truth and say, all right, Pastor, let's go. Right? They shall turn away their ears from the truth, and they shall turn unto fables. I hate going to a Calvary Chapel pastor's conference and getting a story. And it's happened. We're not immune. But there are those that, again, took heed to 2 Timothy 3:14 who continue in the things they have learned and are assured of, knowing whom they received them from, and they continue in the word. Not only do we preach the word, what do we have to do in our own lives? Continue in the word. Now we come to this place. I've already taught you verse 5. Now let's let it sink in. Watch thou in all things. Yes, you are called to watch. Who aren't you watching? If you're not watching your siblings, your neighbors, your friends concerning their souls, what are you doing? Watching TV or watching all things? Watch thou in all things. We're called to watch. Now, here's the word. It's not your eyes. It's sober. The Greek word that gets translated, that's sober. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. We're called to be sober. Be vigilant. Why? Because your adversary, the devil, prowls about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. I've taken a very clear sense with what we're doing on Resurrection Sunday that we are going to go into Satan's lair to rescue people out. Is he going to say okay? Or is he going to launch all manner of warfare against us? So you understand where this teaching comes. This word, watch thou in all things, is be watchful spiritually against all these things that will try to take away the gospel of Jesus Christ. The birds that snatch the seed on a hard heart. Be watchful. Be sober. Be vigilant. Your adversary, the devil. This is a spiritual watchfulness. This is a sobriety. Do not be drunk with wine, which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, right? The truth of this thing, and then endure afflictions. If your Christianity can't go through trouble, right, what is it? If your faith in Christ can't endure afflictions, well then, it's a shallow heart. Beg God to say, what, give me a new heart. Give me a new heart. Should not the people who came to live here because we're here, have the opportunity to get saved because we preach Christ to them? I say unto you, that every one of them should have the opportunity. Who are you going to say, I don't want to share the gospel with them? So Friday, we're handing these out and praying like, okay, so where's the bars in our neighborhood? Okay, we've got to get a poster in there. Where's the worst places? Right? So sinners of the nature of a certain kind of sin, we shouldn't rescue from a building. If the building's on fire, are you going to interview the person, what type of person they are, before you snatch them out of the fire? I'm not going to do an interview like, are they worthy of being rescued? In much the same way, I'm putting this upon us, watchful. Again, we are placed here to watch spiritually so that the gospel can be preached. Do the work of an evangelist. Do the work of an evangelist. What is an evangelist always doing? What is the work? Well, if you liken it unto a field, what are we always to be out doing? Right? Breaking up the hard ground. Right? Everywhere you go, talking about Jesus. Everywhere you go, right? Now you have a tool. I put it in your hands. Why don't you spend the next 2 weeks, right? Well, next 3 weeks, telling everybody about, hey, come to our Resurrection Sunday service. Do the work of an evangelist. Make full proof of thy ministry. For I am now ready to be offered. Time of my departure is at hand. Isn't that an interesting way that Paul faces the end of life? He's given his life for Christ, and now what is he saying? I've been that living sacrifice, and now what is he saying to Timothy? It's where we complete this thing. Finish it. Ready to be offered. He understood his life was not his own. He was crucified with Christ, and all he had, he's lived his entire life now since that day on the road to Damascus. He says, my entire life is for Christ. This is why I talk to us this way. I decided years ago my life is not my own. 2 Corinthians 5:15, my life is not my own. I'm declaring unto you, church, if you have not made that decision, decide it today. My life is not my own. I've been bought with a price. I serve God. Now, right now, because I'm awakened unto this truth and I am exhorting in a particular way, you're going to do one of two things with me. You're going to get sick of being around me. One of them, and say, I don't want to hear this anymore. Or you're going to be what? Awakened and say, let's do this. Time of my departure, I've fought a good fight. Well, I just declared war. Did you guys declare war? So there's no hiding Calvary Chapel Fargo anymore in the spiritual realm because we've declared war on Satan's kingdom, kingdom of darkness. Right? Paul says, I fought a good fight. I finished my course. You got racing. You got the contest. I've kept the faith. Talk about a purified faith. Peter describes our faith being more precious than gold that perishes. You look at Paul's faith and say, wow, all those trials did what to him? And he came through shiny, purified his faith. He's like, kept the faith. Now, in declaring war against the enemy, what do you know? What do you know? What do you expect to have happen to us here? Spiritual warfare. It's a contest. So as we declare war against Satan's kingdom and we say what? Should one more person die from the lies that Satan brings to them in suicide? Most churches offer up some psychobabble to address suicide. What do I say we have? Preach the word. We must do this. Everything the world has tried to do to stop Satan's overtaking, right? Now, what do we know? As we declare war, what are we saying? We war from a position of victory. So our warfare is not wondering what the outcome is. Our warfare is Christ has won. How much more lame it is and lazy for Christians to not war in a battle that's already been won. Now we're warring for souls. Now we're warring for the one, but the big battle's won. under that promise is this power of God. And I'm just pleading with us. I don't know how many words. I'm doing something. Convincing, exhorting, rebuking. Calling us into action. Calling us to do this. Now you're wondering and sitting there, and so don't let Satan like wreck your thought life. Just the thing is, if this is your church, and you're a part of that, and you say, I'm right there. We're doing this thing. Just come do your part. It's not that you have to be the one to accomplish all this. We do this together. God has placed us together with gifts of the Spirit and those in place to do all this ministry, right? But if we together do the work of an evangelist, we fight the good fight. Again, my thing is, let's finish the work. If the Lord's coming in the rapture, do you really want to get raptured and say, well, I had more to do. Why'd you come get me now? We're not going to think that way. But if you have now set your mind for the greater works and you say, let's go preach the gospel, and you see people that are raptured with you because we preach the gospel to them, won't that be, what did Paul say? You're my joy and rejoicing. What do I really want? I really want you before God when I get there and we're there together. Henceforth, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness. God, the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me that day, those who love his appearing. Preach the word. What's the word? It's the gospel. So, Heavenly Father, we come today, and just like it would be all over again, Lord, we were sinners and dead in our trespasses and sins, and we heard the gospel, we believed and received, Lord, and we were saved. Lord, I'd do that all over again. Lord, I can't remember the last time anyone out in public even tried to share the gospel with me. Lord, wake up your church. Wake us up. Lord, we come today and we ask of you to give us the Holy Spirit in fullness and baptism that we can go forth in power to be witnesses unto Jesus. We believe and receive that you have set before us an open door. So we ask of you as we open up our hearts today, what we're really opening up to is our great need to pray for everyone and everything. Lord, we need the love of God to be in our hearts, to go forth and to declare salvation, to proclaim Jesus, to preach deliverance from hell. Heavenly Father, do this work in us, that we would have a message and we would be one. Too long, Lord, has your church here not gone out. So I pray that we go out, and we ask now for the power of the Holy Spirit to be upon us and give us the armor, Lord, to put on, knowing the wiles of the devil, knowing the days are evil, and knowing that we've declared war. Lord, that we seek to war against the kingdom of darkness in this world through the glorious light of the gospel of Jesus Christ, which is truth. We want to war well. So, Lord, may your light pierce the darkness. May this truth, may the word that we preach penetrate. Lord, give us that convincing and exhorting and rebuking. Lord, give us a heart that cares to go forth. Lord, we lay aside our lives now and we take up the cross to follow you. May your Spirit plead through us for the people that live in this city to be saved. And this I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.